I need your prayers again this evening. Thankful tonight to be saved, sanctified, and satisfied. Thankful that the Lord has come to equip us and give us everything we need. I'm convinced that the blood that we sang about is the answer. We sing another song that asks a series of questions, and every answer says the blood of Jesus cleanseth. Believe that is the cure-all, the answer for all of our needs, and I thank the Lord that He's made it available to every one of us. Thankful for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. And I'm thankful that the Lord is able to keep us. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He's able to keep that I've committed unto Him against that day. I want to encourage us this evening that the Lord is able to keep us. The Lord is able to keep that we've committed unto Him against that day. What day? Against whatever it is that we face or that we encounter or that we come up to, that the Lord is able, by the grace that He keeps us with, He's able to keep us against that day and to preserve us holy and blameless. Burden that I have tonight, thoughts that I'd like to share on stagnation. I'd like to look at the 7th chapter of the book of John. John chapter 7 and verse 38. Beginning in the 37th verse. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. The water that he spoke of, he said, if any man thirst, our world is thirsty. Our world is longing for something to be able to drink of that'll satisfy the soul. Our body has a way of telling us whenever we're thirsty, telling us and reminding us that you need to drink. There's something that is a longing within us to be able to drink, to satisfy that. The world has that. Every one of us have that. Jesus said, if any man thirst, as he told the woman at the well, I'll give to you water that's living water, water that's alive, water that'll impart to you life, eternal life. Any of you ever drunk from the waters, the streams and the rivers here in West Virginia? I'd say it's pretty safe to do, and I'd say a number of you have done it. Any of you ever been out to Oklahoma and seen the rivers out there? You ever see what those rivers look like? Brother Marty, you ever take a big old drink of the Cimarron River? You look at the waters that flow out there, and it's not something I really even want to get in, much less to take a deep drink of it. But I want us to consider the thought of living water. The Lord has living water for every one of us. That's not the waters like in Oklahoma that barely flow. They carry sediment with it. They carry the mud and they're a red color. And many times in the summertime it gets so dry there's just little streams that barely run in between the sandbars. But the 46th chapter of Psalms speaks of this river. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. You see, the Lord has a provision for us. The Lord has a way that He's provided for us to water, to irrigate. You look at the only difference between a desert and a lush jungle is what? It's water. It's the presence of water or of irrigation and the ability to water. The Psalm speaks about the first chapter of the man that trusts in the Lord that'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. There's a difference in that tree and the little scrub tree that's out in the desert. I want to be able to tap into living water. To be able to have something that whenever the heat comes, there is a never-ending supply. It still runs clear and free and full. It's pure water that I can drink from. It's not carrying the old sediments of this world. It's not carrying pollutants in it. But I know I can drink to my heart's content. And it'll give life. It says this stream will make glad. Or it'll cause to rejoice the city of God. We have cause to rejoice. The Lord has given us a river of living water. Scripture speaks about it in a number of different places, of a reviving, renewal. Isaiah, the 57th chapter, the Lord speaks of it in this way. Isaiah 57 and the 15th verse. But thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. To revive is to breathe life into again, isn't it? It's to give fresh life to give a second wind to, if you will. Whenever I'm tired and I'm weary and I'm discouraged and I don't feel like I can go on. You know, we can get encouraged and charged up and pumped up and have every purpose and intention in the world. Lord, I'm going all the way with you. But you know what happens? Life happens. And then the drudgery of life that I go through, that every one of us know what I'm talking about, that I get into life and I get into battles and I get tired and I get weary. You know, there's nothing wrong with getting tired and getting weary. Jesus himself got tired and weary. But yet he had a place that he could go back to. Whenever he was facing grief, whenever he was in need, whenever he was weary in body, he had a place that he could go back to, and he communed with the Father. And it gave him new strength. I'm thankful the Lord has a revival for us. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, it says, lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. Remember the time that David was in a real spot. The people were talking of stoning him. The city had been overrun and the women and children had been kidnapped, and they were laying the blame on David, and he was there, and it says, in great distress. Read about it, 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter in the 6th verse. That he was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. But it says David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know, I don't think that was just a self-help thing. I don't think that was just pumping himself up with positive thoughts. But I believe he had a place to go back to. I believe that he had a river, so to speak, that he could go and draw from again. To remember, to remind ourselves. What is the scripture says that we stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. Sometimes we need to be reminded. Sometimes I get weary and I get discouraged and I face the giants and I face the battles and I get discouraged. Sometimes, as much as I'd like to think that I'll always be of strong faith, sometimes my faith begins to falter. Lord, I need a renewing. Lord, I need what you did for me yesterday was wonderful. But I need to have a place, and every one of us need to have a place that I can go back to today, that I can draw fresh water from. How does water, as we're talking of stagnation, how does water become stagnant? You take water that's flowing like the rivers of West Virginia, that's always flowing, and the water, they say, it cleanses itself. As it tumbles over the rocks, it purifies itself. But you take something that ceases to flow. You take something that the flow is diminished in it. Maybe you get it off in a little pool somewhere. The water's not moving. The water's not being stirred up. You can see a little scum maybe develop over the top of it. Been places in India. You see the rivers. You see trash floating in it. And it's not flowing very well. You know, in our lives, we run the same risk if we're not careful. that the water ceases to flow. That I get in a place in my life that it's not fresh anymore. My experience isn't fresh. I have an experience of salvation. That's who my burden is to tonight. To those of us that have a desire to live for the Lord. That I have something that renews me from day to day. I can have an experience of what the Lord did. And David, I believe, as he went back and reminded himself. Oh, I wonder what he reminded himself with. I wonder what he encouraged himself with. The Lord God of our fathers. Maybe it was remembering, Lord, I remember what you did for me. Lord, I remember. I've got to stop sometimes and think. But every one of us have a place that the Lord has provided for us to be able to go back to in our times of trouble and need to revive us. He was greatly distressed, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. The third chapter of Psalms in the third verse, David said that the Lord is the lifter up of my head. You ever feel like you need your head lifted up? He said, I believe in another place that he was like the hart that panted for the water. That was tired, that was weary, that was worn out, maybe had been running. You ever feel like you're just running like the enemy's chasing after you and you feel the pressure all around? I've come home even sometimes from being in the world and working through the day and you just feel drained. You just feel like it takes something out of you. You just feel like I've been on my guard. I've been resisting. I've been trying to keep myself. And just the bombardment of the enemy. Those times that he just persistently comes against me. And sometimes it's almost like just a drip, 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 drip. Over and over. And I can get tired of it sometimes. Lord, I need a place that I can go back to. I've got to have something. The Lord set this up that it would be a continual process. He spake this of the Holy Spirit. Remember what Jesus said he'd give? I'm not going to be able to be with you always. I'm not going to be able to be with you in your times of discouragement. I'm not always in body going to be able to be with you to remind you. But I'm going to send one that'll be with you always. I'm going to send one that'll be able to bring all things to your remembrance. The Comforter. I'd like to look at the 16th chapter of Exodus. Exodus 16. Begin with the 12th verse. The Lord speaking to Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at evening the quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons, take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over. And he that gathered had little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses. But some of them left of it until the morning. And it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. We spoke a little bit last night about the Canaan land. About the promise that the Lord had given him. That was not a promise of a meager existence. It was not a promise of just barely enough to survive. But the idea of it, of a land flowing with milk and honey. Something doesn't flow unless there's a head of it, unless there's a source of it that's continually generating the flow. that flows with milk and honey. Not just a little pool here and a little pool there, but they weren't there yet. You know, the Lord still had a provision for them. The Lord still had a way to provide for them in their desert place. But notice what happened. As Moses said, here is something for you to eat. No doubt they had been hungry. They had faced hunger. Maybe had mornings where they had been hungry and gone through that. And they looked at it and said, despite Moses' warning, he said, don't take any of it to leave over. But yes, some of them did. They left it over, maybe thinking, maybe wondering, will it be here tomorrow? Will there still be more just in case? I'm going to have a little bit extra left over. But they took of it and it said it bred worms and it stank. It wasn't good anymore. It didn't serve the purpose for which the Lord gave it at that time. You know, the Lord knows how to meet the needs of our life at the moment that we need it. Jesus said, whenever you're taken up before magistrates and rulers and you're put to trial, He said, you won't have to think what you say ahead of time. It'll be given to you what you need to say at that time. What you need when you need it. The prayer that Jesus said to pray after this sort said, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, give me the portion that I need for today. The Lord knows how to give us the portion that we need from day to day. But the Lord wants our experience not only to be an experience of the past, not only to be something that I carry along with me, and I want us to understand, I want us to not minimize the experiences, the testimonies of the past. We're not saying to forsake those things, but it's not enough for tomorrow. It's not enough. I need something fresh and new. I'll draw from that and find strength and courage from it. But I'm going to find places that's not going to be sufficient. The great blessing the Lord gave me yesterday or last month, and maybe I'm still enjoying it. I need to keep going back. Spoke about the secret last night. You know, the secret isn't so much in getting a portion that's going to carry me through. If the Lord needs to carry us through, remember what He did to Elijah? He said, I know that you're going to be without food for a while. So He told him to rise up and eat two times. And it carried him in the strength of that for 40 days. But that's not what He was giving here. This is something that I want you to partake of each and every day. To go back to that place. It's speaking here of bread. But I want us to think of our experience of salvation in these terms. That we keep it fresh. That we keep it from day to day alive. Not to allow it to breed worms and begin to stink or begin to get stale. Because it doesn't have to. Because I can go back to the same source tomorrow. Lord, I need something again. I need something more. Perhaps I've shared here before, but I remember a time when the Lord began dealing with me and inspiring my heart with some thoughts from His Word. And, oh Lord, what do I do with this? And felt like He encouraged me or asked me, showed me to share it with the young people. And it's kind of how it started. And I shared it and relieved the burden. And the Lord had inspired it to me and it was rich to me. And I thought, I'm done. The Lord began giving a little message here and a little message there. And as the Lord went inspired, I remember, I need to hold on to those notes. The Lord really blessed that to my soul. And maybe I'll need that again. You know what the Lord began showing me? Just go back to the one that gave you the notes. Just go back to the very source of the water. You don't have to just carry something that's stale. But go back to the wellhead. Lord, help every one of us that we maintain our experience throughout this year, from day to day. It's going to require more than something tonight, this weekend. But Lord, help me each and every day to walk in such a way that I keep the water fresh. That I keep the bread from growing stale in my experience. If we're not careful, well, before we go there, let's get Jeremiah, the second chapter. J-
Jeremiah chapter 2. The 13th verse says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water." I enjoy drinking tap water here. I enjoy just straight from the sink getting water and drinking from it at my house on city water. You taste a little bit of the chemical. It just doesn't do the same thing for you. It doesn't taste fresh like the water here does. Remember Dad telling me that when he was a child, their source of water, sometimes there in Louisiana, different households would have a cistern that would sit out back. It would collect the rainwater. The water would run off into it, and it would collect there for a later time whenever you needed the water to be able to collect it and store it. But he said you could take the cover off and look down into the cistern, and you'd see things floating in it. You'd see maybe a tinge of green in it because it's stagnant. It's fallen into there and it's in storage, but it's not moving. There's nothing living to it. It's not like a living stream of water that brings fresh water in. But that was the source of the water to some of the homes there in Louisiana. Maybe Uncle Mansell has seen that before. Cisterns. He says here, you've substituted. You've traded it out. You know, if we're not careful, Lord, I still want to serve you. Lord, I still want to have, but my experience is getting dry. My experience is getting stale. You know, whenever we get discouraged, it's not generally the time that I feel like encouraging myself. It's not generally the time that I feel like going to the Word of God. I'm discouraged. I don't feel encouraged. I don't feel charged up to be able to do those things. The Lord wants us to go back, to keep the experience fresh, to not allow the water to grow stale and stagnant in our lives. He said you've substituted it. You've allowed your experience. You've allowed your relationship with me. You still have something to try to hold the water, but even that has cracks in it. Even that you find it just leaks the water out. Whereas you could just go back, instead of trying to hoard it, or instead of trying to carve something out to hold it, just go back to the fresh source. Just keep going back there to a source that never runs dry. You've committed two evils. You've forsaken me. And you've tried to come up with a substitute. Whenever we get into a place that our experience gets dry, you know what we can tend to think? It's just not doing anything for me. It's just, I read the Bible, it's just not giving me anything. I pray to the Lord and it seems like my prayers aren't getting anywhere. What's the use? It's dry. You know, our services can begin to feel stagnant. And maybe it's right here. Maybe it's because I'm the one that brings the life with me. Lord, I don't want to just come and drink from stagnant water. So Lord, help me to come and bring some fresh water. To come and bring something fresh and living that you've provided. Stagnant water is that tends to breed disease, sickness. It's not very appealing or appetizing. There's a lake about an hour from our house that they've issued warnings for a number of years. For a while there, they've had a project trying to clean up the lake, but for a while you weren't even to step foot in the water. They said this water is so contaminated, it's so polluted, and I've inquired some about why that was. They said there are a number of pig farms all around this lake. And the water from the lake is runoff through those pig farms. And it collects, I guess, the nitrogen or whatever it is in such high measures that it's just not safe. You don't want to eat any of the fish that come of it. You know, it's not the lake that you want to dive into that's fresh, sparkling, reviving water. It's stagnant. It's that isn't life-giving or healthy. You look in the back of your Bible, perhaps it's in yours, You'll see some maps. If you look at one, perhaps you'll see one that shows a sea that's called the Dead Sea. And if you see that, I want you to notice the layout of the Dead Sea. Tell you just a little bit about it. Don't know a whole lot about it, but the Dead Sea is the lowest point, from what I understand, on the earth. And being the lowest point, do you know what that means? Water flows one way. Water doesn't flow uphill. So water, if you look at that map, you see one tributary, one main river that flows into the sea, and nothing that flows out. You know what it's resulted in? It's given it the name of the Dead Sea. It can't even support life. There's water that flows into it, and then it just collects there. And it becomes stagnant. And the salt content of that water has become so great that only microorganisms are able to survive. There are fish. There's not life that it's able to support by that water. The Lord's challenged me that I not be that way. The Lord wants us to partake of living water. Of water that flows in our life. But I can be in a place that I maybe enjoy coming to service. I enjoy hearing the things of the Lord, and maybe I sit and soak it up. But you know, the Lord wants it to work in our lives. The Lord wants it not only to just flow in and just collect there as a pool, but the Lord wants it to flow in, and I would say to flow out as well. The Lord wants our lives to be as that living river of water. Not that just collects the runoff from the things that are around me. Not that just takes the leftover water, the runoff that's collecting all the things that it carries with it. But I want to have something fresh. I'd like to look at Jeremiah, the 48th chapter. Of Jeremiah. The 11th verse. Moab hath been at ease from his youth, and he hath settled on his lees, and hath not been emptied from vessel to vessel. Neither hath he gone into captivity, therefore his taste remained in him, and his scent is not changed. I believe referring to the method of making wine and settling on the lees. There's another scripture, I believe, in Amos that says, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion, that trust in their own strength. The challenge is to us this evening that I not get into a place that I just become sedentary. That I not get into a place that I get so comfortable, so complacent. Maybe I can sit in my pew from Sunday to Sunday, and maybe I enjoy the preaching of the Word. But I just get kind of settled. Just kind of satisfied and comfortable in the place that I'm in. The Lord wants to stir us up. The Lord wants for us, Romans, I believe it is, the 14th chapter perhaps says, that none of us liveth to himself. But I believe that the Lord wants for us to be able to empty from vessel to vessel. To be able to encourage one another. What does the scripture say? That we are to provoke one another unto love and good works. Isn't that what we're endeavoring to do here? To encourage one another. To revive one another. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those that publish good tidings. That bringeth good news. That saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Sometimes maybe it's in a prayer meeting. Here's what the Lord gave for me this week. Here's what the Lord did for me in my struggles, in my troubles. I just want to encourage us all. Maybe I can share to my brother that's in need. Here's a scripture the Lord shared with me. It's fresh. It's living. I'm not just bringing you some stagnant water. But here's something that's working in my life. That's flowing in my life. I want to share with you, thy God reigneth. In your times of your head hanging low. Whenever your courage is faltering. That I can encourage you. And whenever my courage and strength is faltering, and I'm feeling discouraged, you can encourage me
Lord, help us to empty vessel to vessel. That I would not be as the pool that just collects all the water and I don't distribute it. I don't pass it on. I don't have anything to give to anybody else. All that I have, when I go and try to draw from the well, it either comes up empty or it's old, stale, stagnant water. Lord, help me to have something that's flowing through my life, fresh and living, each and every day. The alternative is to become stagnant. I'd like to look at the 12th chapter of Luke. Luke, the 12th chapter. Verse 48. But he that knew not did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. I believe that we have a responsibility that the Lord has called us unto. That we're not just to live unto myself. I can become so wrapped up and so caught up in my own little life. Folks, it's easy for us to do. Every one of us, it's not a shameful thing for me to realize, Lord, here's some places in my life. Maybe I've gotten so wrapped up in my own needs and my own troubles and my eyes have been so focused on just trying to make it through myself. But Lord, I want to be able to provide. I want to be able to be a channel of that river that flows of your living river of water. I don't have to give to anybody. I don't have anything to be able to give to you or anyone else of profit. It's why we pray, Lord, inspire our services. Lord, anoint the Word of God. How many times have we heard the same scriptures preached? How many times have we sung the same songs over and over and over? But isn't it wonderful when the Spirit will come and bless our assembly? What does it do to it then? It makes it alive and fresh. It makes it living. It makes it something that it's alive unto me, that speaks and witnesses to the places of my life that I'm going through. The Holy Spirit knows how to take and give me my portion of what I need for this day and what I'm going to need tomorrow. He can give me what I need tomorrow. But I believe that we have a responsibility with the things that the Lord has given us. That I not just collect and collect and collect and find it growing stagnant. That I'd be a channel to be able to be a blessing to others. 13th chapter of Matthew. Matthew 13 and 52. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Lord gave Brother Marty a message at Guthrie and brought this out in a way that I'd never thought of. And I'm not going to try to re-preach that. But of the things that the Lord has given us understanding of. He's saying here, you have an understanding of these things. You have a knowledge of these things. Don't allow it to just be, yes, you have a storehouse. You have a treasure house of these things that you have an understanding of. They've been a blessing to you. They've been an encouragement to you. But that's not the end of it. Now you have a responsibility then with the things that have been committed unto you, that you be able to channel that unto others, that it might be a blessing to them as well. But I want to encourage us this evening that throughout our walk with the Lord, that we have something fresh and living that I go to draw from. It's going to require something that is a day-to-day walk with the Lord. Something that I maintain every day of my life. Again, the world often looks for something that's an easy answer. Or looks for something that's a shortcut or a one-time. It's what the Israelites were doing. Let me just go ahead and collect today what I need tomorrow as well. I believe the Lord knows how to give us the things that we need to prepare us for tomorrow. Believe the Lord knows how to prepare us for the things that are coming. But what it speaks to us, is that I not get into a spiritual state of laziness. That I not get into a place where I just become stagnant. Lord, I want to invite you. I want to give you opportunity to stir me up. Whenever I begin to get settled down. Remember, I believe it was Brother Sammons that would say sometimes we're like a big pile of leaves on the road. The car drives through it and it stirs it all up, and what begins to happen? The car goes on its way and pretty soon the leaves just settle down. I'm thankful the experience that we have is not dependent on being spoon-fed from the minister. It's not dependent on just taking a little bit here and a little bit there. We're not going to have another meeting for a few months, or I'm not going to be able to go back to service till next Sunday and be fed again. But I can go to the living supply of living water, and I can give for myself something fresh and alive for me. And folks, we're going to have to do it. Because I can't say that I'm any different than that pile of leaves. I can't say there's something within me. My determination is stronger. Not going to let it happen. Because I believe the Lord wants us to realize our dependency on Him from day to day. I believe the Lord wants us to have communion with Him, doesn't He? From day to day, not just an occasional thing, but that I maintain, that I set some habits in my life. That I said some things that I go to the well. Whether I feel like it or not, you know what? Every morning, I'm going to go to the well. If you burn wood around here in the wintertime, what do you have to do every morning? Whether I feel like it or not, if I want heat through the day, I got to go stoke it again. Lord, help us to be that diligent with our spiritual lives. Every day, every morning, I'm going to maintain this thing. Because what's going to happen if I don't go stoke it now? It's going to start to die out. It's just the way fire works. And it's the way that we'll work as well. So Lord, help me to keep it stoked. To keep it burning. To keep the water flowing in our lives. That I'd give the Lord opportunity. I think it's one reason why the Scripture says, and we hear it often, the forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. But it also goes on to say, and the more so, as you see the day approaching. As the days become more and more evil, and the love of many is waxing colder and colder, the effect of that on us can be greater. So I believe the encouragement is, as those times are coming, you're going to need encouragement. We're going to need the encouragement of one another. We're going to need to meet together and be able to empty vessel to vessel. Lord, I'm going to need you to stir me up. Because I get settled down. I settle down on my lead sometime, and I need you to prod me. I need you to stir me up sometimes. Sometimes I need to exercise myself. Sometimes I can get so comfortable, maybe where I am, maybe sitting on my bench and comfortable in my own life, when the Lord says, there's a time for you to go out now and be a teacher. There's a time for you to get up and exercise yourself now and begin to empty out of what I've given you. But before I can empty out, I got to have something to empty out. I'm going to have something that I've drawn from the Lord to be able to empty out. Folks, the Lord has a never-ending supply of comfort, joy, and bliss for me. How could I wish for more? How could I ask for more? It's everything that we need, folks. It'll keep our experience fresh all throughout the year, all throughout the seasons of life, all throughout the times of our lives that we encounter. It'll keep it fresh. And it'll keep it living if we will instill the discipline in our lives. I'm going to go back to the water. I want to keep it fresh and alive that I not become stagnant in my walk with the Lord. May God bless each one. Amen.